Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Inflation can be a really scary word, a scary idea, and especially when you look at what you're paying for things in the grocery store, price at the pumps, all of it can be kind of overwhelming. But our next guest says there are actually two surprising upsides to inflation. Believe it when I hear it. Manisha Thakur is the founder of Money Zen. She joins us now from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, not normally where she is in Portland, Oregon, but she's clearly on some sort of cross-country tour here. Manisha, it's lovely to see you.
Well, Bruce, it is wonderful to be here, especially because the cost of fuel is up so high. My airplane ticket out here was a fortune.
Oh my gosh. I hope you have a delightful time. I mean, if you have an indifferent time, it won't be worth the money. Airline tickets are up. Cauliflower is up. Gas is up. I went out for dinner to celebrate my 18th wedding anniversary. Congratulations to me.
Congratulations.
It was a delightful dinner. It cost an arm, a leg, and an ear to pay for this dinner. It was ridiculous. You say, though, that there are some upsides to inflation. What do you mean, you big contrarian?
Yeah. So I believe, in all seriousness, that we can come out of inflation collectively with increased financial health and increased emotional wealth. And there's one primary step we can all take in order to receive those two benefits, increased financial health and emotional wealth. And that is to completely rethink our spending. And, you know, when people say prices are going up, well, there's not a lot we can do about that. But if we spend less, we're not spending more. And so there are a variety of different ways to do this. None of them involve the B word, budgeting. But I really feel like people are going to have an opportunity to assess the relationship between the return on happiness for every dollar that they spend.
Right. So you've dimensionalized this in financial health and emotional wealth. Let's start with the former. What does this mean?
Well, financial health means taking a look at your overall finances and seeing where you might be able to spend some time plugging holes. So let me give you two examples. Inflation means prices are rising, which also means oftentimes that salaries have to rise in order to keep pace with inflation. We also have the Great Resignation going on, so labor shortages, a lot of companies, whether it's your primary job or you want to pick up a side gig, are offering hourly rates that we haven't seen in ages. And so you can use that money to pay down debt. And the thing about using money to pay down debt is it gives you an absolute 100% guaranteed return. If you've got a credit card with a 17% interest rate and you pay down some of that principal, bam, you just got a 17% return. You put your money in the stock market right now, you might lose 17% tomorrow.
Right. How do you have the rigor required to ensure that you don't spend more? So let's take the grocery store. Say inflation across all aisles is up 6.5%. If you go in and you buy exactly what you bought prior to that increase in prices, it's going to cost you not $100. It's going to cost you $106 or $107. That's a problem.
Absolutely. And so this is the time to literally rethink everything. So you can ask yourself, A, you know, let me look through, let me go grocery shopping in my own pantry. Because a lot of us have a lot of stuff that we've not used and the expiration dates are coming up on us. So clean things out. Make it a game. See how long you can go without grocery shopping simply by eating down what you have. Then when you head into the grocery store, you will actually be in a more creative mindset because you just went through that exercise. And I understand if you've got small children, you need formula and other sorts of things. Those essentials come in, but otherwise you're playing the game. And now when you go into the grocery store, you don't need to buy the same things because you've gotten really clear on what it is you absolutely have to have?
A lot of people have to really deal with themselves when they go into the grocery store, because there is a level of entitlement. Like, I am someone who has a job, I pay my taxes, I help elderly people walk across the street, I am a good person. Why can't I buy the same produce and the same meat and the same salty snacks that I was able to buy before this inflation occurred?
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest illusions when it comes to our financial health and our emotional wealth is control. We don't control as much of our lives as we think we do. So we need to identify which are the pieces we can control so that we can survive and let go when the parts we can't control start rearing their heads and terrifying us. We can't control inflation. We can control what we spend to some degree. Obviously, if you have a life-threatening accident or illness, that could come into play. And we can also control what we earn, again, to a limit. They're only, 24 hours in a day, seven days in a week. But you can pick up side gigs. You can do things that are a use of your time that does not drain you of money, but rather adds money while you're going through this process of rethinking what you are spending.
What about emotional wealth? What does that phrase mean for you?
So I have a whole quiz on my website, which is moneyzen.com. And it's a quiz to help you identify what is your level of not just financial health? A lot of us have kind of a rough sense of, oh man, I'm screwed. Or, oh, I listen to Bruce all the time. Yeah. I'm like so golden.
I channel him.
Yeah. But emotional wealth is something that we often forget about in our quest for more, more work, more success, more money. It's like never enough. We're always chasing after more. And oftentimes we forget to slow down and ask ourselves, like, what really brings me true deep joy? And I find that when people rethink their spending, that can be a huge way. And let me just give you a micro example. I'm down in North Carolina visiting my parents who've just moved into a retirement community. So at the retirement community, they have a restaurant area. And my parents wanted to treat me, so we went to the restaurant area for dinner. It was freaking expensive because of inflation. It was like $20 for each one of us. And honestly, we would have been happier sitting at home making tacos. and so, you know what? There's a good example of the intersection of a financial health and emotional wealth. Recognizing that, we're not going to repeat that experience. And going forward, we'll spend less and have more enjoyment hanging out in the kitchen. Cutting all the fixings.
So this seems like a logical segue to your notion of return on happiness. Is that a function on Excel? Can I push a button on Excel to get it to just calculate my return on happiness? Is that in my Fitbit?
I'm telling you, this is our next project, Bruce. We got to come
totally
up
invent
with
this. Yes.
Yeah. It should be like a magic wand.
Yes.
And I really think if people can start. Me say this a lot over the years, Bruce, like think about for every, when you earn money, most of us work about 2000 hours a year. So if you earn 50,000 a year divided by 2000, that's $25 an hour before taxes. So if you're going to go out and spend $25 on a bad entree, you can ask yourself, is that worth an hour of my time in the office or working? And so by using that sort of framework, you can increase your return on happiness, meaning squeeze out as much joy as you possibly can from every dollar that you spend. And when times are flush, the desire to do that, I've been talking about this a long time. I call it joy-based spending, but you really got to kick yourself in the tushy. Now it's a financial imperative because things are freaking expensive. And so, involuntarily, I think those of us who listen to you and your wisdom, Bruce, will want to be taking our finances extra seriously and focusing on return on happiness. using the equation of financial health and emotional wealth is a great way to make inflation work for you.
One last question here. You do not seem panicked by inflation. And I know it's not because you're a gazillionaire. It seems to be connected to your mindset around money. First of all, is that accurate? You're not nuts about inflation for you as a human? And if so, where do you source that? Where does that come from?
Yeah, I'm not nuts about inflation because one of the things I know about the financial markets is the one thing you can always expect, always, is the unexpected. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had inflation in a long time. When there are good times, they're followed by bad times. And so I know that the way to be able to ride these waves is to have financial health. It's to always have some best practices, like limiting debt as much as you can, living within your means, making sure you're setting aside some money for the future. And if it's money you don't need to touch for 5 to 10 years, investing it in diversified low-cost index funds and staying put, always having a cash cushion. So when markets are down like they are right now, you don't have to sell stocks when they're down, which is what kills you, in order to meet your living expenses. You can use your cash cushion. And so when you set yourself up, even when in great times, so the last 5-7 years have been awesome in the market. Mm. But if you constantly set yourself up to know some point, the roller coaster is going to go back down again, then you can stay calm when it happens.
Or I can just listen to the sound of your voice and read Money Zen. Money Zen. I could use some Money Zen. Manisha Thakur, thank you so much.
Bruce, always a pleasure.
So great to see you. Manisha Thakur is the founder of Money Zen. She was talking about the surprising upsides of this current inflationary environment that we find ourselves in.